Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. If this is your first time here, welcome aboard. I am exploring all kinds of things, genealogy, particularly dealing with travel and location research and all that good stuff. But in this special series, I've been focusing on Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters. And this series started out last year as just kind of featuring my own, and then all of a sudden I became enamored. So I intend to do all 700 of them. So join me on this journey as I explore all Les Filles du Roi. I do have a website, Have Roots Will Travel, and I'm on Facebook and also on Twitter. So you can join me there. If you have any suggestions about Filles du Roi that I can feature, I can't promise I'll do it right away, but they will definitely go on the list. So they'll be put ahead of the curve. And also, if you have any corrections or improvements, I don't take offense. People have done all kinds of comments and have, corrected my pronunciation, and I appreciate every last one of you contributing because it just makes me better. So I appreciate that. So with that, let's get started, shall we? Oh, and don't forget to like this video if you do, and also subscribe. I would love to have you subscribe. Thanks. Those of you who are regular viewers know that I produced a video called Les Filles du Roi, the program 2.0, in which I describe the program as it was started by the intendant Jean Tanneau and ran for about 10 years, and how the girls were recruited, how they came across, all the nuts and bolts of how to do this, and how 700 and plus women came aboard. So I would urge you to have a look at that just to get you some kind of context of what your particular Filles du Roi went through. And also, most of us have, if you have one Filles du Roi, chances are you have more than a few. So I would urge you to have a look at that video. So let's get started and look at number 54. Who is our Filles du Roi of the week? Let's have a look. So the lady we're going to be featuring today is Marie Magny. Now, there are many, many different spellings and pronunciations of her name. This is the one I'm going with. It's all good. There's lots of other. I've seen Musnier. I've seen all kinds of things. So this is the spelling I'm going with because I kind of I'm partial to Peter J. Gagne's spellings of things, and so I kind of use him as not the end all and be all, but he kind of almost is. So Les Filles du Roi by Peter J. Gagne, who is just two volume set, which is an incredible book, and any of you should be lucky enough to grab a copy of that. So let's get to know Marie, but first I want to let you know that she is actually the great grandmother of the husband of one of my dear friends who has French Canadian ancestry, all over the place. So it was really a neat thing to find here in Arizona. So every so often I come across a Filles du Roi who we kind of know how old she is, 1648. We don't know exactly in France she's born. We know she's from France because that's what it said on the ship manifest. But other than that, unknown. Her parents are not known. So very mysterious. So I put the flag of France and the map, and there we go. So let's get started and find out where she goes from here. So she takes is recruited, obviously, and takes the ship Le Saint Jean-Baptiste de Dieppe. So that's an interesting thing for you to kind of say, okay, well, find out where Dieppe is and find out, okay, where could she have been from? So if that was one of your descendancies, that would definitely be part of what you would be looking at. Doesn't mean that she is from around there because the girls would travel like weeks at a time to get to wherever the boat was. But she did arrive in New France on June 18th, 1665. Let's find out who she selected. Now, the groom she selects, his name is Michel Chartier, and he's born about 1640, around, and we're not sure, again, it's a very mysterious couple, in the location of La Rochelle, France. And we think that his father's name was Michel Chartier and his mother's was Antoinette Leroux. Again, I put a question mark. Let's talk a little bit about La Rochelle. It was founded during the 10th century. It became a very important harbor, as you can see by the upper left, in the 12th century. Until the 15th century, La Rochelle was to be the largest French harbor on the Atlantic coast, dealing mainly in wine, salt, and cheese, all the good stuff. The name was first recorded in 961 as Rupella, from a Latin diminutive meaning little rock. La Rochelle has one of the richest histories all the towns of France, from its beginnings as an area where the Knights of Templar had their strongest base. Now, Eleanor of Aquitaine married Henry Plantagenet in 1152, who became King of England as Henry II in 1154, thus putting La Rochelle under his rule until Louis VIII captured it in the 1224 siege of La Rochelle. During the English control of the city in 1185, Henry II had the Vauclair Castle built, remains of which are still visible in the Place de la Verdun. So you can actually visit, you can see some of the remains. From 1568, La Rochelle became a center for the Huguenots. So it was in La Rochelle that the Protestant Revolution occurred and created the uprisings that would become known as the Siege of La Rochelle throughout the 1600s. The Huguenots were expelled from La Rochelle. We do not know if Michel Chartier was a Huguenot. We absolutely don't know. But it's always interesting when you see somebody coming from La Rochelle and escaping, in essence. Now, in a lot of the literature that I've read about Michel Chartier, and it also comes from the Chartier family book, it states that Michel and Marie were married in France. However, it does not compute because Marie was a fille du roi and we have her on the ship's manifest. We also, this little tiny bit, and we'll talk about where they lived, but they lived on a place called Île d'Orléans. And in a very old book, it states that Michel Chartier, who was married to Marie Meunier, remember I told you about all of the different spellings, and they were established in Île d'Orléans, okay, or he was established in 1662. So, he's about 22 years old at that point. So 1662 refers to when he first landed in that area. So that's just the information that I've got. So Marie arrived in New France on June 18th of 1665. It's highly likely that the marriage took place somewhere between July and August. Their first child was born in May of 1666. Again, this wonderful, mysterious couple, we don't have anything. We have no written document. I wonder if we'll ever get some. Let's have a look. So Michel and Marie would settle on Île d'Orléans, which is located in the St. Lawrence River. Just to give you an idea of the place, it's kind of 3 miles east of downtown Quebec City. The island was one of the very first parts of the province to be colonized by the French, and a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry to the early residents of this island. The island has actually been described as a microcosm of traditional Quebec and as the birthplace of Francophones in North America. Officials later changed the name to Île d'Orléans in honor of the second son of King Francis Henri II, the Duke of Orleans. The island was also known as Grande Île, Sainte-Marie, Saint-Laurent for certain periods in the 17th and 18th centuries. I give you that in case you're doing research and you come across these names. It is the same place. Early French settlers were, of course, attracted to the island because of its fertile soil. And in 1661, the very first parish of Saint-Famille was founded, followed by another four parishes in 1679 and 1680. By 1685, there were about 1,200 French inhabitants and, lest we forget the animals, 917 livestock. You can see on the map, on the top here, kind of the island and how it is divided into sections. So you have Saint-Pierre, Saint-Famille, Saint-François, Saint-Jean, Saint-Laurent, and Saint-Pétronille. So that is important to note that Île d'Orléans is composed of these, townships or towns. And then I also included on the left kind of an example so you could see how in relationship to Quebec City where it is. And these are just some recent photos that a friend of mine sent me just to show you how green the place is, the kind of old-fashioned, you know, kind of somewhere in time kind of place. It is absolutely number one on my bucket list to visit. I have to see it. So you can see here that there were two censuses in 1666 and 1667. In case you're wondering why, it was because the first one, they didn't get two right. So it doesn't matter how many years go by, the government still makes mistakes. So Jean-Sanon said, let's just do another one. So in the first census, it was only Michel and Marie who were there. And it actually lists what he does. He was a net maker. Okay, and also a farmer. So in the second one, by then their son was born, and Michel Chartier, Marie, and their son Charles, who was 15 months. And it said they had one type de bétail, I'm sort of cut off in there, which is a head of cattle, and then three arpents à valeur. So he had three arpents, it was about an acre of land. So not a lot of land, but you know, it's an acre. So there you have it. In terms of where Michel and Marie were at around this time. Let's have a look at the family they created. So Michel and Marie would go on to have four children. Their firstborn, Charles, married Marie-Louise Lemaître and had six children, two of whom reached adulthood. Michel, my friend's husband's line, would marry four times. Firstly, to Marie-Catherine Chamberlain and had six children, four of whom reached adulthood. Next, he married Anne de Trois Maisons, whose mother was a fellow Fégeois, Martin Coisny, that we featured in video number 53, just saw her, and had six children, five of whom reached adulthood. Next, he married Anne Jeanne Grandet and had two more children, one of whom reached adulthood. He married Jeanne Chartres, but had no children born of that union. Now, Marie never married, and it is assumed that she was a religious person and devoted her life to the church. Anne would die at the age of 11. So you can see that the descendancy of this family rests on Michel's and Charles's. You know, he had two children. So that's a very, very precarious kind of lineage. What happens next? Tragedy would ensue. Michel would pass away at the incredible age of 32. It is said that he drowned, although no record of his death exists, which is part of that. Perhaps no body was ever found. He was a net maker, so he would often, you know, be out on the sea with his net, and it's possible that an accident occurred. That's all we know. So who did Marie turn to next? The husband that she would find next, his name is Louis Gessereau, and he was born in 1641 in the parish of Saint-Mathurin in Les Sables d'Olonne in Poitou, France. His parents were Pierre Gessereau and Perrine Bonneau. So you can see on the map where it is, very coastal. You can see how beautiful it is. This is an example of the church that he would have, probably been baptized in. Marie and Louis Gessereau were married at Saint-Famille on the island of Orleans on January 7, 1673. And this is the two-part marriage certificate that we finally find. She finally gets some kind of information. And that's just kind of an illustration of the church at Saint-Famille. Now remember, she had four children with Michel, three of whom who survived. So now she is with a new husband and she has seven more children. Let's have a look at that. So we have Jean-Baptiste, who married first. He marries Marguerite Bissot, with whom he has two children who survived to adulthood. His wife did not survive and died at 23 in childbirth. He would then marry Anne Sinvalier, who died within 18 months of their marriage, also presumably in childbirth. His third wife, Thérèse Canac, produced one more child who made it to adulthood. Unfortunately then, Jean-Baptiste himself would succumb, dying at the age of 53. Pierre married Hélène Paquette and had one child before he too succumbed to death around his 49th year. Elizabeth married Jacques Marquette, whose mother, Marie-Louise Bulper, was also a Fiji Roi, and we will be featuring her. Elizabeth would have seven children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Guillaume would pass away at 1 year old. Marie married Vital Joly and had five children, all of whom made it to adulthood. She then married François Bouteau, with whom she had four children, three of whom made it to adulthood. Louis would pass away at 15 years of age, and François would pass away at age 21. So, in their later years, Louis would pass away at the age of 67 on the 14th of December in 1708. At his death, he and Marie would have been married 35 years. Marie would live on until the remarkable age of 80, dying on the 5th of December, 1723. All that she saw in her life, giving birth to 11 children, surviving two husbands and the early death of one, leaving her homeland, all of the above makes her an incredible, incredible woman. And to live on the island of Orleans at that time would have been incredible. She would have seen it grow and take shape. So I think she is truly an outstanding Fiji Roi. So the legacy of Marie and her first husband actually live on in the statue that is at Île d'Orléans. She and her first husband are listed there as the pioneers of Île d'Orléans. And of course, there is the Chatsey Family Association. I was not able to find an association for her subsequent husband. If any of you know of it, please let me know in the comments below. And I will be putting the links to the Chatsey Family Association. And lastly, if anyone doubts her contribution, in 1729, even with she didn't have like 20 children, and she would have 148 descendants as of 1729. So the children that she bore children and then bore some more. So I think her legacy lives on, and this was a really neat kind of person to kind of profile, because she was able to live a really long life and truly make a contribution to a very small part of a wonderful place that is Île d'Orléans. And with that, I will bid you adieu, and I will see you on episode number 55. Until then, au revoir.